Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking about some of the laws that are impacting us. We're going to be talking about boat safety and things you need to know dealing with water. You wonder, with all of these new laws that were enacted with July, here we are, brand new month, but this is the first month of the fiscal year for the state of Tennessee, and the General Assembly was busy putting the final touches on some new regulations that went into effect. And we have a guy who's going to help us through that maze today, John Day, local attorney, visiting with us to answer your questions. John, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July.
Did. I think everybody did.
Well, the weather was fantastic. I spent it on the lake, I was out there in the sun enjoying the beautiful Tennessee weather on the 4th of July, thinking about meeting you here today and talking about water safety.
I don't believe that.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
Okay, and I believe about the water safety.
I'll tell you how boring I am. I sat on the, we're fortunate enough to have a little cabin down at Tim's Ford Lake. And I am in the process of updating one of my books, coming out with a second edition. And I spent about 37 hours last week sitting on that dock, updating my book, trying to enjoy the outside at the same time I'm pounding on my keyboard. So I can safely say that I'm the dullest man in America.
Actually, that sounds pretty neat. I mean, it gets you away from all the hustle and bustle and let you be creative.
It does, and I've got wireless set up so I can actually communicate with the cloud and do a little work and enjoy the sunshine at the same time.
Makes it nice. Were there any of these new laws that were enacted with July 1st that impact boating and water activities?
No, there are about 500 new statutes that came into effect about July 1st, but none of them impact boating or water safety. We've got pretty good laws on the books right now, and quite frankly, I don't think there's much more that needs to be done, except that people pay more attention to them, because quite frankly, people continue to get hurt and die on our waterways, and it's really tragic. Last year, believe it or not, we had a huge number of deaths on the waterways of the state of Tennessee.
A huge number of deaths in the water?
Oh, yeah. We had 43 deaths on the waterways caused by boat collisions.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. Lots and lots. I said 43. I misspoke myself. It was 23. 23
That's
deaths
still
on the waterway. Yeah.
So 23 persons, were those accidents that could have been prevented?
Yeah, most of them are collisions between recreational boats between 12 noon and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And those of your listeners who are fortunate enough to be able to go out onto Tennessee's beautiful lakes and rivers know that that is a high traffic time for boating. Quite frankly, you don't let it see a whole lot of people engaged in recreational boating before 11 o'clock in the morning. There are some dedicated skiers out there. But for the most part, the action is between noon and 4 o'clock, and that's when the injuries and deaths tend to occur.
Wow. You would think that would be a time when there wouldn't be much. I mean, as far as people being alert, awake, the sun's up, you can see, dusk. Dark.
You forgot one factor. Alcohol.
It hit me right there. And alcohol on a hot day is probably not a good combination to start with, much less putting it on the water.
Well, what is happening, of course, out there, and I don't want to overemphasize it. I mean, there's a lot riskier things that people can do, but the fact of the matter is you're out there with friends, you've got an inner tube or two or three on the back, maybe you've got wakeboards on the back, you're constantly looking over your shoulder to make sure that tuber or that wakeboarder is doing well, and sometimes you're not paying attention, or the person coming the other way is not paying attention. So there are actually 43 collisions between vehicles, recreational boats, last year on our waterways. 43.
Now, we hear a lot about the TWRA being out there on the lakes. In fact, you can't go out there too often without seeing them.
That's correct.
What are they looking for? Are they checking individual boats, or are they just watching things?
Well, I've never asked them what they're doing, but I have a pretty good guess, and that is the mere fact of a police presence in a boat or in a car causes people to think about what they're doing. I mean, how many times have you been driving down the road and seen a police car stop ahead? And I don't care who you are, if you see it, you're immediately going to take your foot off the gas, and then you're going to take a look at your speedometer to make sure you're not speeding. So it's that sort of policing, whether it be on the roads or the water, that encourages good behavior. The mere fact that they're out there at all and being visible, I think, helps encourage people to do the right thing.
Absolutely. So what are there classes that you can take to become a better, safer boater? Or are these required?
They're now required under the law. If you are, and I can't remember if the year was 1995 or 1989, whatever, some year, and the year escapes me. Clearly, if you're under 28 years old, and you want to operate a vessel on Tennessee waters, you have to go through a boating safety class. And the reason I know it's under 28 is my oldest daughter is 28, and she has to do it. So she was born in 1991. I can't remember if it's all people born after 89 or 1990, but it's clearly after 1991. You have to have a boater safety certificate.
Difficult to get? Or?
No. Excuse me. It's a class that you take. You can take it now on the internet. That just helps educate you on proper boating techniques. Helps you understand the buoys that are in the water. It just makes good sense.
And so that is something you need to do. I think I started boating when I was maybe less than a teenager. Just enjoying the lakes and stuff of that sort. And I really got into water skiing at one point and thought that I was majoring that in college, but then suddenly realized that wasn't getting me good grades.
Yeah.
So got serious on that. But it's one of those things you need to do, but there were a whole lot less people on the lakes back then.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, although the number of registered boats in Tennessee is actually down a little bit from a year before, but it seems to me that lakes are busier. I know down at Timms Ford, where I mentioned we have our little cabin, there is a new development down there called Twins Creek that is up on the, I'll call it the Winchester side of the lake, and it has brought hundreds of additional boats to Timms Ford Lake. Now, the good news is it's 10,000 acres. There's 220 miles of shoreline. There's plenty of room for everybody if everybody uses good sense.
We just got a text in with a question, and this person says, is insurance for a boat trailer covered under your auto insurance? And also, what insurance covers a boat when it's on the trailer or in the backyard and not in the water? Is that a different insurance, or is that...
The only way to know for sure is to look at your auto policy, but the standard auto insurance property covers your auto in terms of property damage to your vehicle or
not something you're pulling.
Not something you're pulling. That would be a separate policy, a rider which is sort of a funny term to use, especially when you're talking about boats. But, yeah, you would want to get that insured separately, both the boat and the trailer.
Okay. So you need to do that. By the way, I want to mention that this listener figured it out because we do it every day. If you have a question, give us a call or text us, whichever you prefer. If you text us, don't do it when you're driving, because that's one of the new laws.
Effective July 1st, thou shalt not touch one's phone when you're in a moving vehicle. And I'm having to learn, this old dog is having to learn some new tricks, because I've said on this show before, I don't text and drive historically, but I have been guilty of holding my phone when I drive. So yesterday morning I had to be in court in Waynesboro, Tennessee, hour and 40 minutes in the car. I'm getting used to hands-free talking now.
Yeah, we lived for so long without those devices, and now we're going to have to learn to control ourselves just a bit.
Yeah, it's new habits, but it's overall it's a good habit, and I hope people will follow that law. Can I say one thing boating insurance that might be helpful to your listeners? One thing that I don't think people understand about boating is that if a operator of a boat makes a mistake and hurts somebody, not only is the operator responsible for what happens, but so is the boat owner. And that's much different than in the car world. If I let you drive my car, I am not personally responsible for any mistake that you make driving my car. Even though it's my car, unless you're my employee or you're running some sort of errand as my agent, legal speak, but it's rare. But in a boat, I'm responsible for my boat. And anybody who's driving it with permission and hurts somebody or causes damage, I, the boat owner, am responsible for it. It's a big, 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 big potential risk for boat owners.
Let's take a phone call. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. And I lost that one there, so call us back. Or maybe they were wanting to text us. And when you text us, you need to use your cell phone. I've had people say, how do you text on that same phone number? It depends on the phone that you're texting on. If you're calling in on a regular phone, I don't think you can text us.
No, sir, I don't think so.
So you have to have your cell phone and dial 615-893-1450, and then you choose the option to text. Or, if you wish, talk. Speaking of texting, here's another question. Can you register a boat using just the bill of sale?
I think you can. You something to prove ownership, and I think that a title that's basically showing that it was sold to you or you purchased it, however you want to put that, I think that's good enough to register a boat.
Okay. So what if, and this is just thinking out of the box when that person sent us that text, I'm wondering, are there a lot of, it seems like you have an opportunity with a boat, especially a houseboat, that people could have built some of the things on. It's not a purchased boat that you have from some, and so it probably didn't have a lot of the safety regulations that you're thinking about. Let's say an old small barge or something that people often put, build a little cabin on and sell it down the road after they've used it for several years and they decide to sell it. How do you sell something like that? What regulations go into that?
To be 100% truthful, I don't know. And I hate to admit I don't know something, but there's lots of stuff I don't know. But let me make an educated guess. The educated guess would be that if you've got if it's a vessel at all, if it's a little barge that previously existed, it's registered in somebody's name, or at least it should have been. And if it's modified in some way, that may affect the amount of fees that you have to actually pay for that boat. Not quite sure on that either, mm-hmm. But it would have to be registered and transferred in the same way.
Okay. Our phone number, by the way, 615-893-1450. John Day is with us, local attorney, and he's answering questions dealing with boating safety and boating regulations, things of that sort. What about skiing practices? Are they... this is the time of the year, skiing. Everybody loves to ski, and so many different things you can do while you're out there.
Well, the main thing where people run into serious problems with skiing in terms of causing injuries to somebody is not taking into account the length of the rope and getting running people into a dock or the shore. I mean, those docks stick out, and it depends on the lake, but some may stick out 20, 30, 40 feet. And you have to remember that if you've got a 45-foot long ski rope and that skier cuts to the left or cuts to the right, they're going to be out there 45 feet or 60 feet, once again, depending on the length of the rope, and they can hit a dock. So you've got to be conscious and think about the length of the rope and where the obstacles are, whether it be another boat or a sea-doo or a swimmer, a log floating in the water, or another dock.
Now, when you mentioned a few minutes ago about the two people responsible should you have an accident, one being the driver, the other being the owner, I'm wondering about all of these opportunities people have. If you don't own a boat, you go and rent a boat. That puts whoever rents boats in a very libelous situation, sounds like.
Yeah, they're at risk for having to pay for the mistake of the boat operator, and that can cost them some money. That's why boat rental is pretty expensive, because you're buying an insurance policy with it. And I've never looked at one of those boat rental contracts. I've never had a case against a person who was driving a rental boat, but it wouldn't surprise me if the boat rental agreement, if there's not some potential claim that they would have a back against you as the boat operator in the event they pay money. Depends how that agreement is structured. If you're actually buying the insurance to protect you and the boat owner, then they wouldn't necessarily come after you if you, the operator, made a mistake. But if it's only the coverage only applies to the boat owner, then you could see that insurance company for the boat owner coming after the operator and saying, you're the one that really made the mistake. We had to pay out this much money. Now you pay us.
And with that other regulation of if you are 28 years of age or younger, you have to have a boat class. How many people who don't own a boat, who are just going out and casually renting one, have had that class?
Well, that's just it, and I don't know if the boat rental folks are insisting upon seeing the safe driving certificate that you get from the state of Tennessee. So they may well have a policy that says if you're under such and such an age, you have to show us your safe boating certificate, or they may ignore it. I don't know how they're applying that law.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We've got a question here about duck boats, and the person is talking about the ones in Chattanooga. They say that they were riding that one, enjoyed themselves thoroughly, and it was not long after that that the tragedy in Branson, Missouri happened, and I believe they mentioned 15, 16 people passed away there, quite a few. I remember that. That was in Branson. That was last year, I think.
That was either a year or two, and there was a prior one up in Boston. Yes, sir.
So they've had more. This is not those boats. When you look at them in Chattanooga, it's a truck, really. It looks like it's well made. What happens?
Well, it's an amphibious vehicle, right? So it's designed to be operated on either land or water. And they have them up in a little area of Wisconsin near where I grew up called Wisconsin Dells. So it's not uncommon in tourist areas near bodies of water where they take you around the city and then drive you into the body of water and take you and let you see some water sights. The problem with them is many of them are not equipped with the proper safety devices. And up in the Missouri situation, they were operating during dangerous conditions, weather conditions. So the funny thing is, and those people, once again, who are fortunate enough to get on our beautiful lakes know, weather can change very, very quickly on a lake. And you can see it coming, and you better pay attention to it, because otherwise you could get stuck in some pretty rough water. in Branson, Missouri, what happened was they didn't pay attention to the water, and a bunch of people lost their lives.
Wow.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with John Day. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing, Mark?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Good. This is Don Ash. I was just calling to tell John. I think a lot of times we don't tell lawyers how much we appreciate them. John's book on civil practice is excellent. I refer to my law students at the National School of Law. And then John also has served on the Tennessee Pattern Jury Instructions for Civil Jury Trials for a long time. I did for several years, and that's really an important service. He didn't get paid for that, and so I just want to thank John for his continued service to our great state. I think he does a great job. But, Bart, hope you're doing well. My favorite radio station.
Thank you, Don. You have a good day.
Well,
take care.
Thanks.
Thank you, Don. It's very kind of you to take the time to call in. I would add that Judge Ash continues to serve the state of Tennessee, even though he's retired, by serving as a senior judge. And what service as a senior judge means, as far as I can figure out, is they get involved in all the hard cases that no other judge wants to touch. So he spends some portion of his retirement driving around the state of Tennessee and helping out the judicial system resolve some really, really tough cases. So he too deserves a hat tip for all he's done for the people, not only this community, but the entire state.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're going to pause just a moment, check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and continue the conversation. If you have a question dealing with boating safety, boating regulations, I'm learning a lot of new regulations. I had no idea were around. And a lot of folks don't know it either. And they're out there using boats. That's the scary part. 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
Radio WGNS, putting the power of your free speech into action on air and online at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You will find a full range of fish, freshwater, saltwater, and brackish. Here at Animal City, we have all of the products and knowledge to help you create and maintain the water garden of your dreams. Animal City is open 7 days a week. Come in and relax in our aquatic room, where you can enjoy our ever-changing selection of freshwater, saltwater, and brackish fish. Animal City is open 7 days a week, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. And if you have a very large group that you're wanting Demas's to be able to cater, our catering team is going to be there and ready to be able to serve you. We have catering menus, but we also have custom catering that we can do to whatever your event needs, whether it's a box lunches for your office gathering or whether it's something more formal. We are here to be able to help you and serve you in that capacity. Demas's Catering would love to be able to serve you and to serve your families, either large or small.
We're your local sports connection. Brian Barrett and John Dinkins take you to the games on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
We'll see mostly sunny skies this afternoon, high in the mid-90s, and winds out of the north of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 72. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 73.
This is Freedom Morgan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Bazing at First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives a new meaning to customer service.
Get your parachutes ready. I can't believe I'm going to do this.
$10,000 accidental death coverage.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Or give us the call today at 615-494-4200. Member FDIC.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic volume, but it's moving on 24 westbound here, headed towards Nashville, up through the Hickory Hollow area. You're still looking good right now. Inbound 41, Murfreesboro Pike. Traffic still not too bad, actually, as you head over to Franklin, Williamson County on 840, but you better watch that speedometer. Hey, suffering from knee or back pain? Then call 1-800-281-8944. Learn how you can get a comfortable brace to help with that pain. That's 1-800-281-8944. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
At Bell Jewelers, we sell watches, Rolex, Seiko, also the Bertucci watches, so we have something for everybody. Hi, this is Lisa Halliburton at Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across the street from Toots.
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're talking about boats. John Day, local attorney, is with us this morning. So if you have a question about boats, best to ask it now until you're out on the lake instead of waiting till then and you have a problem come up. I already learned something this morning. The boat owner and the driver, both legally responsible. Totally different from cars. And I guess also while we're thinking about boat registration, a listener has sent us another text message, this one dealing with boat registration. They say, is it a one-time thing when you get the boat number, you put it on the boat, or do you have to renew that registration? Is it one time forever, for long? How does that work?
I actually know the answer to this question.
All right.
Heaven forbid.
Let's ring a bell.
And the reason why I know is that I went out to my Sea-Doo the other day and saw the registration had expired.
Uh-huh.
So this is what the rule is. You have to renew your registration every year, but you can elect to renew it for 2 years or 3 years. And so you go online, you can do this all online, and you say, I want to register it for 1 year. If you think your boat is going to last more than 1 year, you may want to, and you've got the little extra money, you may want to extend it 2 or 3 years so you don't have to deal with the hassle. So for 3 years, it was, I think, $44 and plus a convenience fee to do it on the internet of another $3 or $4. So yes, you have to renew it from time to time, and you pick the length of time on how often you have to do it.
Now, does the number that you put on the boat, does that stay the same?
The number stays the same. It's just you get a little sticker that's about 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches, different color for every year. So mine has a specific date. I think it was June 9th it expired, and I didn't realize it until this week, this last week. And now it is extended till June 9th of 2022. I'm counting on my, my jet ski's 11 years old. I'm counting on it getting another 3 years out of it.
Now, you just mentioned something that I had never even thought about, registering a jet ski. So what has to be registered? I mean, and you put the number on the jet ski?
You put the number on both sides. That's correct. The assigned number, the number is assigned by the state of Tennessee, and then you put the little sticker on it. So it's not just boats that have to be registered. It's also the jet skis.
Now, is that because it has a motor on it? If this didn't have a motor, like just a...
If it's a paddleboard, you don't have to register it.
Okay.
Right.
Or rafter, anything
a raft,
like that.
Correct.
Okay, even if it had a trolling motor.
You have to register it, yes.
Okay. So that's the secret there. Any kind of motor, electric or gas.
It has to be registered, that's correct.
Okay.
And I'm 93.2% sure of that.
Okay.
I'm less sure of that than I am the stickers.
You know, a lot of people put these big stickers on their boats and it becomes a piece of art sometimes, almost.
Yeah, I'm a, you know, the sticker is required by law. That's why I have it on there, but I choose not to emphasize it. I think the letters have to be at least 3 inches high or something like that.
Something where the TWRA can read them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All righty. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. We're talking about boats. We're talking about mainly boat safety. Nothing better on a hot day like today than being out and getting into the water. I mean, that cools you off.
Well, it is. You know, our family bought our little place down at Tim's Ford not quite 16 years ago. It was October 14th. It'll be 16 years this coming October 14th. So we get to spend a lot of time on the water, and it is our family entertainment. I mean, that's the way we spend our time as a family. Nothing's better when all the kids are home and we're out in the water.
Good bonding time, and it keeps you together.
It is, and I'm one of these people, and there's going to be some fisherman on who's going to text or call and dog cuss me. I'll say it anyway. I'm one of these people who goes out at sunup every weekend or every day that I'm there. Last week, I was at the lake all week, and I was up at sunup every single day. I idle quietly out of the cove where we live, and then I ride for an hour, hour and a half. Some fishermen don't like that, but I steer plenty wide of all fishermen, and I respect their need to enjoy their fishing. And every once in a while, they'll raise a fist and shake it at me. But it's quite—I really do give them lots of room because I fish myself, and I try to respect their rights.
Speaking of that type of boating, a couple of weeks ago we were over on Real Foot Lake, and I'd never been out on. I've been to Real Foot Lake, but never had actually been out on a boat on Real Foot, and they don't have any big motors on the lake. Everything is a fisherman.
Right.
No skiing.
Right.
No quick boating around. In fact, the only boats that we saw were the flat-bottom fishing boats, basically, and pontoon boats, which we were on, which is what the state uses to give little tours of
right.
the lake. And so it was just fascinating to see this casual, huge lake, I mean, big lake, as big as they could have had skiing. It appeared to be. Now, I don't know about stumps underground.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. My memory is that lake is designed as a fishing lake and as a place for duck and geese to
plenty
stop
of,
on the way north and south. And I don't know that I want to ski out there because there's a heck of a lot of hazards, if my memory serves me correctly.
Very definitely.
I wouldn't go out there without a depth finder, let me tell you that.
It was interesting to watch the eagles, and there were several.
Oh, that's great.
That we, you didn't see them up close and personal, but you don't see eagles too often these days.
No, we do have some down at Tim's Ford Lake that we see from time to time, and I think I know where there's a nest down there that's an eagle's nest, and they're beautiful birds, aren't they?
Oh, gorgeous birds, and just the whole area over there at Tim's Ford is gorgeous too.
Yeah, it's a magical place, and there's a lot of people from here in town that have places down there. Judge Eyeshine has got a place about 8 or 10 houses down the lake from where I am, so I'm able to see her from time to time on the weekends.
Now that is a man-made lake, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But
yeah,
most of them are around.
Well, the TVA,
or many of them are.
Yeah, the TVA built a lot of the lakes in Tennessee, certainly the bigger lakes, as a process of the flood control projects over the years. And this particular lake, Tim's Ford, is the result of damming up the Elk River, all in an effort to save Fayetteville, Tennessee, which is just south in Lincoln County. So this 10,000-acre lake protects the good people of Fayetteville.
Now, we have another text message that has come in. This is from a listener who's wanting to sell a boat, and they're wondering what kind of items should they have with them to sell the boat. Should they sell it as is? Would that protect them? Of course, if you're buying a boat, you want to look at that from the other angle. But what about some of these things? When you sell a car, you're worried about lemon laws, you're worried about things of that sort. Are any of these laws protecting boats?
Well, I think there's a legal requirement and there's a moral requirement. So let's talk about both. The legal requirement is that if you are a casual seller, that is, you're not in the boat selling business, and you selling a product, it would probably make sense for you to sell it as is, because you don't know what's going to happen to that boat the next day or 2 weeks later, and you don't know what's going to happen to the engine. So you would sell it as is, and if you do that, there's not going to be any problem. But if you're asked questions about it, I would hope you wouldn't lie about it legally or morally, right?
Sure.
Talk about it morally first. Just if you tell the truth in the long run and the short run, it tends to serve you better. So if you know your boat and you've maintained the engine and the buyer sell asks you, how does it run? You can honestly say, well, every single year I change the oil. I've never had any problem with it. Then go ahead and say that. Mm-hmm. But heaven forbid if you have had problems or if it's burning oil, I would hope that you would disclose that. And it's going to affect the price a little bit. But once again, we get to the golden rule. Treat people like you want to be treated and things tend to turn out better.
Very definitely. So remember those things if you're buying or selling. Keep it in mind.
Yeah, if you're buying, it makes sense to have the boat checked out. It's worth $75 or $100 before you spend thousands to have a motor checked out. Once again, a lot of this depends on the circumstances. There are people who will buy a boat that has an engine problem because they know how to fix it at home. Or they know somebody, they've got a brother-in-law or sister-in-law that knows how to fix them. There's a market for everything. Just know what, if you're buying a boat, know what your limitations are. And if your limitation would be like mine, in other words, the only tool I know how to use, Bart, is a pen. And by that, I mean I can write a check as well and as quickly as almost anybody you know. But when it comes to using other tools, I can't do it. I'm going to hire somebody to take a look at a used boat before I buy it.
One thing that we have not talked about, and I can remember this from my teenage years of boating, I would even sleep on the boat. I was that hung up into the boats. But I would sleep on them when it was in the dock, and you would have lights, you'd have all of that, because you'd run a cord into it from the dock there.
Sure.
Looking at it now, docks with electricity and water and electricity don't usually go well together. And so I guess docks create some risk of electrocution.
Oh, there are people every single year who die at Tim's Ford Lake who have been electrocuted in the water while swimming near a dock. In fact, it just happened about a month ago down there.
Really?
And a young boy, 14 years old. And the lake talk, I don't know what the truth is, but the lake talk is that the young man went out swimming at night. Family didn't know that he went out, and they found him the next morning, and he had been electrocuted. Hmm. And you're right. The problem is we all like the convenience of having electricity to the dock, whether it's playing the radio or using the boat lift or having lights. But you have to be very, very careful when you have electric lines near water. And they need to be put in by an electrician who knows what he or she is doing. And there needs to be a ground fault interrupter that's part of it. So our dock, we have ground fault interrupter. We have a probe down into the water and a meter. And every single day before my kids or I get into the water, we look at that meter to see if it's picking up any stray electricity in the water. Now, is it 100% safe? The answer is no. I asked the electrician, what more can I do to make this boat safe? He said, you can disconnect it from electricity, put in a solar panel and a battery, and run your dock electrical needs off that solar power, solar panel and battery. I decided not to do that for a bunch of reasons. Instead, I put in every safety device that I could have the electrician tell me about to try to keep it safe.
Makes a lot of sense. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. We're taking text messages as well as talking. 615-893-1450. We're going to pause and check on the weather, and then we'll be back and continue the conversation. Stay with us.
We got some good neighbors, and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Put it in writing on WGNS. WGNS. AM, FM, online.
Hi, this is Norman and Beth Brown.
I was at a restaurant one morning, and the waitress says, "There's three little kittens trapped under an air conditioning unit." I was like, "Oh, my goodness, we're in the business. Let me call my husband."
And I received the call. I immediately dispatched the tech, and we rescued the kittens.
Three little kittens, so sweet. Meow.
Yep. Everyone goes beyond the call of duty at Roscoe Brown with heating and air, water purification, insulation, and more.
Roscoe Brown.
RoscoeBrown.com.
I wish I could spend my whole paycheck on new tires.
Said no one ever. That's why Bud's Tire Pros makes buying tires simpler, so you can get back to when being on the move was carefree. June 12th through July 11th, earn up to $70 in mail-in rebates when you purchase four new qualifying Michelin passenger or light truck tires.
This is Kay Mitchell, and our family invites you to visit us on the Old Woodbury Road before your next out-of-town trip.
Bud's Tire Pros, hassle-free, guaranteed. Find out more at BudsTireProsTN.com. See store for complete details. Offer ends 7/11/19. Void where prohibited.
This is Ron Hall with Fair Construction Company. Whether you're dealing with your insurance company for restoration or if you're just wanting to remodel your home, we can help at Fair Construction. If you or your spouse is looking around your home and it's looking like it's time to update, we can do anything as far as painting, new flooring, anything that you're looking for. As we've said before, if you can dream it, we can turn it into reality.
Give us a call at 615-893-6120. That's Fair Construction Company.
We'll see mostly sunny skies this afternoon, high in the mid-90s, and winds out of the north of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 72. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 73.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
The Daikin Fit from Precision Air for your home's heating and air system. No money down and financing starting as low as $89 a month. Call Precision Air. 615-834-3777.
We take you to the local games. We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
Welcome back. We're talking with John Day. We're talking about boating safety. I mean, when it's in the 90s and you have water nearby, that's where you're going to go, and that's Tennessee.
that's Tennessee, yeah. That's lots and lots of people enjoy that as a form of recreation, and it is good, clean family fun.
Very definitely. We're learning about some of the new laws that are around, and some of them aren't that new. We're learning about laws that are around dealing with boat safety. Man, I'm learning all sorts of new things from you, John, and thank you for sharing these things.
Well, it's fun to be here. I do want to point out one other risk that sometimes people don't think of. It's not just your dock that's the problem. It's your neighbor's dock, right? Because that electricity, if your neighbor has a problem, leaches out into the water. And as you get close to that or one of your kids get close to it, they can be affected by somebody else's leaking electricity. So it's a community thing. And the great thing about people who have a place on the lake is they tend to be relaxed. They tend to be friends with one another. And it's important to have a conversation neighbor to neighbor. What are you doing to keep your dock safe? And that help keep your little area all the way around you safe. That's really important.
Very definitely. Now, I haven't been out on a boat in a while. But
well,
I'll
come on down. I'll give you a ride.
I can remember going out, though, and going down the dock. People would have extension cords just everywhere, lying around, which, again, it looks like an accident trying to find a place to happen.
Right. And, you see all sorts of goofy things rigged up. And, you know, once again, I mentioned to you when we were off the air, maybe I'm paranoid about it, but I have an electrician come out every spring and check the dock to make sure things are functioning the way they should be working. And it's expensive. Electricians, you know, time is valuable and they charge for it. But at least I get peace of mind. And I think that's important. Let me say one other word of warning that people may not think about, but they'll readily understand when I mention it. And that is, where people tend to get in trouble around docks where there's a electric energy leaching into the water is they'll dive in and then hit that electrified water, or as they're coming back will grab a piece of metal. And the natural reaction if you see a loved one or anyone who's got trouble in the water is to dive in to help. If it's an electrical problem, you are diving into a hazard yourself. And we've had that happen at the lake where someone tried to rescue somebody else and they both were electrocuted. If a person is having trouble in the water and the water's it's tingling, it's hot, the thing to do is cut off the electricity to that dock. You should have a kill switch with ready access that you can turn off the electricity. And if for some reason that's not possible, or the next step after that is not to jump into the water and save someone, but to get them something that they can hold on to, a life preserver or some toy that you've got there that floats, and have them go away from the tingly water, go out the other direction, not necessarily come back to the hot dock.
So they can actually just be totally in the water. I always thought you had to touch something that was grounded.
You do, or not grounded.
To complete the circuit, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, not grounded.
Not grounded,
yeah.
Okay.
But you can, you touch something, but you can feel the electricity in the water. It'll tingle. It'll make you tingle.
Okay.
That will indicate that there's something wrong there in that area. And it's when you touch, that's right, where there's the problem. But you need to go away from the area that's causing the tingling in the water, not go toward it, which would be the normal reaction, is let me get to the dock, that's safe.
Now, before we leave, you mentioned that you're using some of your time up on the water to write another book. Tell us about that. When can we expect that one to be out?
Well, first of all, no non-lawyer would ever want to read this book, unless they want to use it as a sleeping aid. So I do recommend that for lawyers and non-lawyers, they could read one of my books if their goal is to get to sleep in about 10 minutes, maybe less, without having any sort of hangover effects that you would get from sleeping medication. No, quite frankly, the books are sort of boring. They're written for lawyers to use to help them keep current in the law and to use as a reference guide. This particular book is the one that Judge Don Ash mentioned a little while ago, the Tennessee Law of Civil Trial that I wrote, first wrote in 2014, and the second edition will be coming out in September. So it's about 450, 500 pages of the law of trial. Not the law of evidence, but the law of trial. And so lawyers from around the state have been kind enough to buy the book and hopefully use it for something other than a doorstop.
So you could get one of these and learn something new.
Yeah, but I don't want to oversell this. This is something that the ordinary person would find about as interesting or less interesting than nuclear physics, quite frankly.
Well, John, we do thank you for joining us today and sharing your knowledge of the law and to make it safer for us, giving us an opportunity to enjoy the family together out on the boats safely.
Well, thank you. I sincerely hope that what we do helps avoid people getting into problems, getting hurt, losing the life of a loved one. That's part of what lawyers are supposed to do, and we'd like to contribute to that effort.
John, thank you again for all that you do. John Day visiting with us this morning, talking about boat safety. Truman's next, right here. Have a good day.